Welcome back, ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night. I hope you all have had a pleasant week. I have to admit, I have a story of a very strange notebook for you this week. Now, I've told some pretty interesting stories regarding notebooks and secret letters and the like, and as we all know, I'm trying to figure out a scroll of my own right now. So I found this story especially captivating. So, why don't you sit back, relax, and tune in for information to appear as human. I'm recording here for you my final memory. I sincerely hope that you can read it. I just started at the cafe, and as part of my training, I was being clued in to all the regulars. It seemed to be just as much of the training curriculum as table numbers or side work, and great importance was being placed on it by the girl currently training me, Megan. Saturday morning is Mr. Frank. He is a pain in the... and he'll nurse a cup of drip coffee at the corner table during the brunch rush and not give a crap, Megan continued on. He doesn't leave a tip either, bastard. And then there's Ms. Blevins. She's a daily. She'll actually be here pretty soon, she said, eyeing the clock above the bar. She doesn't say much, but she's been coming here for a couple weeks now and always gets the same thing, bowl of chicken soup and a croissant. She brings this ancient notebook and is always hovering over it. Tip's decent. Oh, actually, there she is now. The bell on the door chimed as the presumed Miss Blevins slid in. She looked unremarkable at first. Mid to late 40s, I'd guessed. Straw blonde hair pulled back into a ponytail, and no matter the day, she was always wearing the same beige cardigan. Megan wasn't exaggerating about the notepad either. The thing was definitely ancient. Cracked at the cover, and the pages were the color of yellow that made it clearer than it had been white at some point. Megan sent me over because she said Miss Blevins was an easy customer and a good one to start on. What can I get for you? I asked, readying my notepad to take her order. Her notebook lay open beside her, but it looked odd. There were various symbols and scribbles across the page in no meaningful pattern. The figure of a tree was drawn into the bottom corner, with long branches stretching out across the page. I felt a headache coming on purely from the strain of trying to take it all in. She raised an eyebrow at me when she saw where my eyes had fallen. "What do you see?" she asked. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pry," I replied, flustered. All I knew was that I really didn't want to keep talking about what I'd seen. The images began to blur when I thought about them too hard. She continued to look at me as if she were studying me. After a long pause, she smiled warily and closed the notebook with finality. "My usual, please." I hurried back to the kitchen, eager to sit down and shut my eyes that were now aching. Megan saw me collapse onto a stool and came over. "Are you okay? Don't worry about her order. I put her order in when I saw her come in. Did she yell at you or something? You look awful," she said. "No, she didn't yell," I replied weakly. "I guess I just got a migraine or something. I was looking at her notebook and she caught me, so yeah, she might be a little ticked, but I think it's fine." "Oh, that stupid notebook," Megan rolled her eyes. "Did she give you a whole spiel about invisible ink and all that BS? If she's so worried about a HIPAA violation or whatever, maybe don't do your therapy notes in a public cafe." "What? Didn't she tell you? I asked her one time why she always brings an empty notebook in here, and she said it wasn't actually empty. She's a therapist, apparently, and writes notes at, like, a weird angle or uses some weird ink or something so she can look at them in public without anyone else seeing them. I don't know. Megan shrugged and eyed me. So, are you good? I've got another table for you. Also, don't hang out back here too much, or back of house will get pissy. Megan had left, but I stayed frozen to the stool. The pages clearly weren't blank when I saw them, and if those were therapy notes, then I had no idea what kind of therapy she was doing. I spent the rest of my shift thinking it over while Miss Blevins nursed an Earl Grey at her table, surreptitiously watching me. She hadn't opened the notebook again since we talked. I tried to rationalize it, thinking maybe she had some kind of special shorthand or, like, she was doing a family tree or something, but I couldn't shake the dizziness that seemed to overcome me when I'd looked at the page and all of its weird symbols and scratchings. Finally, it was time to close, and that's when I saw that at some point Ms. Blevins had slipped out. She'd left exact change on the table. No tip. She'd also left the notebook with a napkin on top where she'd scribbled only that which encompasses humanity, and nothing else. I still didn't know why, but I slipped it into my backpack and took it home with me that night. Maybe it was just so weird that I couldn't resist. Thinking back on it, I do feel bad now. Megan tried her best to train me, and my shift wasn't half bad, but I'd never step foot in that cafe again. Not since I'd gotten the notebook. The notebook began with a letter that I will transcribe here. The beginning letter was as follows. Hello. If you're reading this letter, then you are now in possession of this notebook. You cannot get rid of it, though you are welcome to try. It will continue to return to you until it finds the next link in its chain. Many cannot read this notebook and will not understand. It's foolish to get others to try. You have been chosen for a reason, and that reason may only be known to you or known to no one at all. It is your duty to deposit your knowledge here. Your sacrifice has been recognized. I'd rolled my eyes the first time I read it. It felt so needlessly dramatic and over the top from the plain woman in the beige cardigan. I flipped it to the next couple of pages and saw pages upon pages filled with cramped writing in red ink. It looked like it began with basic biographies of people, info like birthdays, blood types, favorite colors. Then it devolved into more of the symbols and scribbles that I'd seen at the cafe. My eyes began to blur, and the same ache that I'd felt before came back with a vengeance. Finally, I'd flipped onto seemingly blank pages and my vision relaxed, but only for a moment. I felt a sharp pain in my palm and watched as words appeared on the page in red ink. DOB 12-14, 1989. Blood type, O negative. Favorite color, green. Social skills, introverted. Aces, 9. I yelped and threw the notebook across the room where it lay flat and the words continued to appear on the page. My vision blurred and eventually faded to black. I awoke the next day to the notebook lying in the same spot, but with pages upon pages of new writing. I flipped through it frantically, trying to figure out what on earth was going on. Avoidant attachment. 6 sexual partners. WPM 97. Left-handed. Crooked smile. Seemingly inane information flooded the pages before me, and the longer I looked at it, the more foreign the information became. I had the memory that maybe it was describing me, but the information no longer felt correct. Had it been me? I couldn't remember. To be honest, I can't remember now. The information has changed now. The pages are only ever filled with one repeating word or another. Scared. 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 Tired. Scared. Scared. I can't remember anything before that first day at the cafe. I can't tell you my name or where I grew up or even what color my eyes are. I used to be scared, I think, but now I'm only tired. I think I'm done now, but it won't let me go without more information. Do I have more information to give? It doesn't feel that way. Can you hear this? Can you read this? Do you have information to give? And that, listeners, is where the letter stops. I'm so fascinated by the idea of this notebook. I can't imagine what secrets it might hold, or what, or where it came from. Who needs all this information? If you have any thoughts on this, you should definitely reach out. You can always find me on socials under Haunted Horror Historian, or you can send me an email at hauntedhorrorhistorian@gmail.com. I'm afraid that's all for this week, but until next time, my dearest listeners, stay spooky, and remember, sometimes it's more than just a story.